VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on the VCY American Network. We are going to have a news roundup day today. The stories are plentiful, and we'll cover as many as we can. Certainly, this will not be exhaustive to all that is going on, but certainly representative of some important issues that are either underreported or not reported at all, and certainly give you another perspective on what's taking place in the news today. Some of these stories, of course, will grieve your heart, and some of them will perhaps cause for a moment of joy. But we have to keep our eye certainly on the Lord through all of these things, knowing that He's in control. Salvation doesn't come to us through the White House or through the halls of Congress or from the bench. Rather, it comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's what's so critically important in such a time as this. These things are going to come and go. But friends, eternity is forever. We're going to begin, of course, the impeachment hearings going on again today, and today also another White House transcript was released of another phone call. This would be an initial phone call President Trump had in April with Ukraine's then president-elect. And sure enough, transcripts show again, no preconditions. This first official phone call is that transcript was released that there is no conditions, no quid pro quo that is taking place. And we'll see how that plays out in all of this. Very interesting statement that came out from Nancy Pelosi yesterday. Very interesting, in which House Speaker Pelosi has proposed a way for President Trump to respond to her party's impeachment campaign that has now gotten underway in the U.S. House. She said he should prove his innocence. Of course, that throws into the ash heap the foundation of America's justice system, the presumption of innocence until proof of guilt. I'm going to play an audio clip of this that transpired yesterday. She was holding her press conference. You're going to hear the questioner, and then you'll hear Nancy Pelosi. Now, the questioner is kind of difficult to hear. You'll be able to make it out, but a little more difficult to hear, and then hear Nancy's response. Let's listen in.
Thank you. You say that the House has not obviously decided.
That's right.
To pursue impeachment yet.
That's right.
But when we see the hearing yesterday.
Right.
A lot of questions about impeachment. We talk about three distinct things: bribery, abuse of power, things that could go into articles of impeachment. Why would the public not think that the House is dead set on a course to impeach the president when all of this milieu is going on?
Well, all this milieu is a seeking of the truth. It's called an inquiry. And if the president has something that it is exculpatory, Mr. President, that means you have anything that shows your innocence, then he should make that known, and that's part of the inquiry. And so far, we haven't seen that, but we welcome it, and that's what an inquiry is about.
Do you think that there is a way, considering all that they're doing, and all the hearings and all the depositions that are coming, that there's any way that the House could not impeach with all of this work regardless?
Perhaps you have not heard me when I have said, this is something we're very do with a heavy heart. This is very prayerful, because impeaching is a divisive thing in our country. It's hard. And the place that our country is now, it's not a time where you go to 70% when President Nixon walked out of the White House. It wasn't there before he left. Even 2 weeks before he left, it wasn't there until the other shoe fell and he walked out the door. And by the way, what President Trump has done on the record in terms of acting to advantage a foreign power to help him in his own election and the obstruction of information about that, the cover-up, makes what Nixon did look almost small. Almost small. But again, an inquiry is an inquiry, and people come in and you hear what they have to say. Next week, some of the Republican suggestions of witnesses will come in and we'll hear what they have to say. But this is not something that you take lightly, and you make a decision as you go along.
Now, this is interesting because this was a Fox reporter, Chad Pergram, who was asking Pelosi, why would the public not think that the House is dead, set on a course to impeach the president? And she said, it's called an impeachment inquiry. And if the president has anything that is exculpatory, Mr. President, that means if you have anything that shows your innocence, then he should make that known. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? And then she mentioned, well, this is being done with a heavy heart, and we've been prayerful about this, and impeachment is divisive, but what he has done is worse than Watergate. What Nixon did is very, very small compared to what President Trump has done. Wow. From townhall.com, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said impeaching President Trump serves many purposes, such as holding him accountable for violating laws in the Constitution. She added this also, which really helps us to understand what this is all about. She said it also helps prevent a potentially disastrous outcome in 2020. Now, Speaker Pelosi has reasserted during her weekly press conference yesterday that the ongoing inquiry into the president has nothing to do with politics, but it had to do with patriotism and upholding their oath of office. From Breitbart, Senator Rand Paul signaled yesterday that he could force a vote in the U.S. Senate that would impel Hunter Biden to testify as part of the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump. Also from OAN News, One American News Network, while speaking with reporters after the nearly five-hour-long testimonies, Representative Jim Jordan mentioned the fact that Ukraine didn't even know that aid was being held back at the time President Trump's July 25th phone call with President Zelensky. The fact directly contradicts Democrats' narrative that the president was dangling aid over Ukraine's head in exchange for dirt on Joe Biden at the time. President Zelensky didn't pledge to do any investigations prior to the aid being released, and the Ukrainians didn't know that the aid was even on hold at the time of the call, he explained. This is also interesting from WND.com. Two U.S. diplomats to Ukraine testifying in the impeachment investigation of President Trump pressed Ukraine during the 2016 election to stop its investigation of a nonprofit funded in part by the State Department and George Soros, who spent millions that year to help Hillary Clinton win the White House. Investigative reporter John Solomon recalled on Thursday the story he first reported in March because it sheds light on what he terms the real Ukraine controversy, the alleged meddling by the Obama State Department in the affairs of a sovereign nation contrary to the Geneva Convention on behalf of a nonprofit funded by a left-wing activist billionaire. Ilhan Omar from CNSNews.com sent out a tweet after Wednesday's hearing in the House impeachment inquiry, expressing her confidence that the House was going to impeach President Donald Trump. She said, quote, every report, every testimony comes down to this. Donald Trump thinks he's above the law. It's up to Congress to show him he's not. We're going to impeach this corrupt president, end of quote. On another issue from the Washington Free Beacon, Israel killed a top commander from the Iranian-backed Palestinian militant group Islamic Jihad on Tuesday in the Gaza Strip, drawing rocket fire that's reached as far as Tel Aviv in the worst cross-border fighting in months. The targeted strike killed the Islamic Jihad's Bahab Abu el-Ada in Gaza, and a separate missile attack hit the home of an Islamic Jihad official in Damascus, killing the two, including one of his sons. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described al-Ada as a ticking bomb who is responsible for a string of recent cross-border rocket, drone, and sniper attacks, saying Israel bears full responsibility for all consequences of this escalation. This is Hamas saying this. Israel bears full responsibility for all consequences of the escalation and said this will not go unpunished. The exchange of fire has sent civilians to both sides, huddling for shelter and forced businesses and schools to close. From townhall.com, as of Thursday, over 450 rockets have been indiscriminately fired from Gaza into the densely populated Israeli cities. 90% of the rockets have been intercepted by the Iron Dome. A tenth of the missiles have reached the Israeli people and caused significant damage. So far, 84 Israelis have been treated for injuries. The IDF reports that Israel had killed 20 Palestinian terrorists this week. The terrorists used their personal homes to store rockets and artillery. The jihadists used their families as human shields for their artilleries and fire at Israelis right from these homes. Hamas leader admitted just last week that they have hundreds of kilometers of underground tunnels, hundreds of underground and above ground command centers, thousands of traps, and thousands of locally made anti-tank missiles. Our hard-earned money was sent to these people as aid for their never-ending poverty, and it was used to furnish their terrorist artillery. Democrats wanted to send more until the misleading term, under the misleading term, humanitarian aid. The Hamas leader, Yangar Sinwar, stated, "In 2014, we had dozens, perhaps only a few hundred, high-quality anti-tank missiles." He said, and I quote, "Today, by the grace of Allah, we have many thousands of missiles that will turn the occupation cities into ruins and ghost cities, Allah willing, if the enemy makes any stupid mistake against Gaza or against one of our great national causes," end of quote. Another tragic shooting has left two students dead, four wounded, people across the country asking that question, what can be done to prevent future shootings? There have been calls for stricter gun control. The internet's been abuzz by gun control advocates looking for stricter restrictions. But keep in mind, the shooting was at Saugus High School, located in Southern California. California has some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation, which ask which national laws do you want now that is already in effect in California and would not prevent this. They did not prevent this. According to the Crime Prevention Research Center, between 1950 and 2018, 97.8% of all mass public shootings occurred in gun-free zones. Also, in the 20 states that allow teachers to be armed, there have been no school shootings, as well as no accidents or injuries caused by firearms possessed by teachers. The Daily Signal saying that when the 2020 presidential election is less than a year away, America's voter registration rolls woefully out of shape. Yet well-funded liberal organizations are working to stop states from cleaning up their voter rolls. In Indiana, a federal district court has temporarily halted the state's efforts to compare its voter rolls with those of other states to eliminate duplicate registrations. The Heritage Foundation's election fraud database lists many cases of duplicate voting. The Government Accountability Institute studied the voter rolls in 21 states following the 2016 election. It found almost 8,500 individuals who appear to have voted illegally in multiple states in that election. And now we have a court in Indiana, a federal district court, temporarily halting the state's effort to compare its voter rolls with those of other states to eliminate duplicate registrations. They said, well, somebody may move over to one of those states for a job, but the job doesn't work out. They want to come back home and cast their vote, and they'd have to go through this registration process again. Well, that issue goes on. How sad. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, another heavy question. Is it true that some evolutionists actually claim that there's an evolutionary justification for rape?
Yes, indeed, Chris. As disgusting and far-fetched as it may sound, evolutionists claim that rape has its basis in evolutionary survival of the fittest. In evolution, the two main goals are survival and reproduction. That organism which can reproduce the most, pass its genes on to the greatest extent, is the one that's most fit. Thus, rape has its justification. If man is an evolved animal, this must be right for us too. But Chris, animal behavior should not be the model for human behavior. Humans were created in the image of God and are obliged to abide by His law. His design was one man for one woman for life, and that back to Genesis truth is the only one that will work.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and having a news roundup day today. Again, each one of these topics could be a full program in itself. So many issues going on. We seek to just condense things down and give you a broad picture as to many things that are going on. New York Times reporting that former Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts made the announcement Wednesday he was going to enter the presidential race, and so it was off to New Hampshire State House to file paperwork to be a candidate on the primary ballot. He acknowledged that the scale of the challenge he faces by getting in this late, but has received encouragement from some of the party who believe the race remains unsettled and thinks that he could be a formidable candidate. Coming to us also here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Mark Sanford dropped his challenge to President Trump for the Republican presidential nomination Tuesday, saying the focus on impeachment has made it impossible for his campaign to gain traction. Right now, it's former Massachusetts Governor William Weld and former Representative Joe Walsh that are still mounting GOP primary challenges to President Trump. Well, Elizabeth Warren received an endorsement. Just last week, the left-wing group Black Woman for, well, woman is spelled W-O-M-X-N. I don't know if it's Womexen, but it's a group that's focused on creating intentional meeting spaces for Black trans women, cis women, and gender nonconforming community leaders and activists to talk with each other about the Democratic primary and our impact of the 2020 elections. But anyways, this group endorsed Warren for her party's nomination. She sent back a tweet, "Thank you, Black Woman Exon, for Black trans and cis women, gender nonconforming, non-binary people." Listen to this. She says, "They are the backbone of our democracy, and I don't take this endorsement lightly. I'm committed to fighting alongside you for the big structural change our country needs." From the Western Journal, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders proposed a sweeping immigration plan that would stop deportations, dismantle agencies, and with enforcing immigration laws, and bring into the U.S. at least 50,000 so-called climate migrants, saying, quote, "We will end the ICE raids, and on my first day, I will use my executive power to reverse every single horrific action implemented by Trump," end of quote. Sanders also vows to, quote, "stop all construction of the racist and ineffective wall on the U.S.-Mexico border," end of quote. On another note, the Daily Wire reporting that Senator Bernie Sanders told ABC News this early this week that his new campaign trailmate, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, would play a significant role in his White House if he is elected president. Said, "I don't know of any person who in the course of less than 1 year has had more of an impact in American politics as a freshman member of Congress than she has." Went on to say, "It is not only that she has focused on the real issues impacting the American people, like climate change, the usury rates that Wall Street are charging people in the country, but she has been an inspiration to working people all across this country and to young people in particular," Sanders said, and then went on to say, "If I'm in the White House, she will play a very, very important role. No question, one way or another, absolutely," Sanders concluded, acknowledging that her role could be a cabinet-level position. Think about that one. Western Journal reporting, California Senator Kamala Harris's new plan to help modernize schools appears to ramp up the public school system to even greater proportions, helping the government slowly take more control of children's lives. She's got a plan. The Family-Friendly Schools Act aims to keep schools open until a mind-numbing 6 p.m. in the evening. Schools would also be responsible for putting on full-day enrichment activities. The bill also allocates over $1 billion for enriching summer learning programs. The senator billed the program as a way to help lower-income parents work without having to worry about childcare. From townhall.com, Republican Congressman Peter King announced Monday morning he will not seek re-election in New York's 2nd Congressional District. He has served in Congress for nearly 30 years, has been a key player on the House Homeland Security and Intelligence Committees. From the Daily Signal, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments Tuesday in three cases challenging the Trump administration's attempt to roll back the Obama-era Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. The DACA program, created in 2012, allows about 700,000 illegal aliens who came to the United States as children to apply for work authorization and deferred deportation. In the course of the litigation, then-Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen issued a memorandum more fully explaining the administration's reasons for rolling back DACA, including that it is likely unlawful, also runs counter to the agency's law enforcement priorities. Now at the Supreme Court, the justices are faced with deciding whether it's reasonable for the president to abandon an arguably unlawful program put in place by his predecessor. DACA was supposed to be a temporary fix to allow Congress more time to consider the hotly debated issue of how to handle the presence of illegal aliens in our country, but instead, Congress has not come up with a solution as of yet. Western Journal reporting, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg missed oral arguments Wednesday due to illness. She is indisposed. This is a statement from Chief Justice John Roberts. He said she is indisposed due to illness, but she will participate in the consideration and decision of the cases on the basis of the briefs and the transcripts of recordings of the oral arguments. He said a court spokesman said that Ginsburg was at home with a stomach bug. From WND.com, Washington Nationals General Manager Mike Rizzo responded Monday to the complaints from some fans about his team's decision to visit the White House after winning the World Series. The Nationals came away victorious in a winner-take-all Game 7 against the Houston Astros on October 30th. The following Monday, the team visited the White House and met with President Donald Trump, sparking outrage among some on the left. Rizzo said obviously each player could make up their own decision whether they wanted to attend, but most of the players were excited by it. We weren't trying to make a political statement whatsoever, Rizzo said. The office of the president is something that we respect. We felt we should be there. We also felt we should do it with everyone still in town there or not do it at all. And then went on to say, I don't have a political bone in my body. He was doing it to respect the office. Well, from the New York Times, some changes coming to MasterCard aimed at transgender and non-binary people. That's the headline. Cards issued by some banks on the MasterCard network will let customers use their chosen names on payment cards, even if they have not changed their legal names. MasterCard said this week that the BMO Harris Bank would become the first institution to offer debit and ATM cards under the network's True Name Initiative starting in December. The initiative reflects growing awareness of the needs of transgender and non-binary people, said Cheryl Guerin, Executive Vice President for Marketing Communications at the company. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and non-binary people may encounter discrimination in the financial world. We're focused on inclusion, she said. People will apply for cards, card accounts using their legal names, and the card-issuing banks will adjust their application process to allow customers to request a card with their preferred name. It's bizarre what's going on in Massachusetts. This is from NBC News. A friendship tournament was played in Cambridge, Massachusetts, hosted by Boston Pride Hockey and LGBTQ intramural organization that has both cisgender and transgender members. Boston Pride Hockey played Team Trans, the first ever all-transgender hockey team. A quote here from Hutchinson, a defense player, said, "We as trans people fight either big battles or little battles every day. This was an opportunity to walk into a locker room, and we didn't have to explain anything to each other. We're here. We're trans. This is great." End of quote. From the Sons of Liberty, a new report is out that indicates that 80 LGBTQ candidates were elected during the November 5th elections. That's a report from the Victory Fund. Victory Fund, headed up by former Houston lesbian mayor Anise Parker. In a statement from Anise Parker, president and CEO of LGBT Victory Fund, saying in part, Americans are understandably focused on the 2020 presidential and congressional elections, but the LGBTQ candidates who won tonight will arguably have a greater impact on the everyday lives of their constituents. Again, they are celebrating what they claim to have 80 LGBTQ candidates elected during the November 5th election. GLAAD is an organization that seeks to accelerate acceptance of the LGBT community in American culture, reports CNSNews.com, and they released their 2019 report, Where We Are on TV, and applauded the TV and cable entertainment industries for adding more LGBT characters to their programs. Of the 879 regular characters scheduled to appear on broadcast, scripted primetime television this season, 90, that's 10.2%, are LGBTQ, states the report. There are some 30 recurring LGBTQ characters, making a total of 120. That's up from last year's 113 regular and recurring LGBTQ roles. 15 years ago, there were only 12 LGBTQ characters on broadcast and cable programs, according to GLAAD. And again, now boasting that they have a total of 120. But it's not enough, folks. It's not enough, and it never will be. The organization is now issuing a new challenge for the entertainment industry, calling on the industry to ensure that 20% of series regular characters on primetime scripted broadcast series are LGBTQ by the year 2025. You never knew that a Chick-fil-A truck could create such outrage and such fear. Coming from the Daily Wire, around 100 students walked out of West Lynn High School in Oregon last week in protest of the school's decision to allow a Chick-fil-A food truck to sell chicken sandwiches during one of the school's football games, among other microaggressions they said were making LGBTQ students feel unsafe. You got a chicken truck, and the LGBTQ students are feeling unsafe. Westland High School's Gay Straight Alliance organized the walkout, says the current culture at the school is not safe for LGBTQ plus students. They posted to Instagram saying students are being harassed in sports games and in classrooms, local news station KATU reported. It's a microaggression to have a Chick-fil-A truck selling chicken sandwiches and students are not feeling safe. From Planned Parenthood, this is townhall.com. The Planned Parenthood has established an online tool used to help individuals of any age and at any point in their pregnancy find the nearest abortion center where they can kill their unwanted baby. The tool is called the Abortion Care Finder. View nearby Planned Parenthood health centers that provide abortion care and get the information you need to schedule an appointment, the website says. Despite insisting the taxpayer-funded group is not solely about abortion, guess what, folks? There is no such adoption finder tool on the website. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out that a school passed out a flyer to seven-year-olds discussing implants and pills and contraception to seven-year-old children. We'll tell you more about that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day. We'll be back in 1 minute.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours, 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. So much going on, and it is truly amazing. A school, elementary school, passing out this flyer to seven-year-olds. DailyWire.com has a story. Distributed this flyer to children as young as second grade with a flyer advertising free birth control and pre-pregnancy services, as well as free implants and pills and more. One father of a seven-year-old in the class outraged, telling a school board, "What is more exactly, and why was this given to my seven-year-old? Since when is the school's job to give information to my child about birth control? When did the public schools decide they can teach my child issues regarding morality and sex?" The father explained that his outrage was triggered by this flyer, having to explain to his child, who he felt was too young to start dealing with this issue. And he said, "I know liberals on the council are going to say, well, schools teach reproduction. You're right. They do teach biological facts in regard to reproduction, but this flyer is not talking about reproduction. It teaches birth control. I also can't help but notice that abstinence is not on this list." Folks, seven-year-olds. The public schools think they have the right to usurp my authority as their father. This school does not have that right. Well, some are saying, well, it was just a mistake. We didn't mean to copy that and put it on that part of the flyer. No, this was meant for older children. The fact is they did it and gave it out to children as young as seven. LifeNews.com tells us of Carol Everett, who owned and ran an abortion clinic for many years, spoke at a fundraiser for an Arkansas pregnancy resource center. And she said this, "I sold abortions. How did we do that?" She said, "It's called sex education. Our goal was 3 to 5 abortions between the ages of 13 and 18. From CNSNews.com, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi issued a statement this week condemning President Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement and declaring that the growing climate crisis is the existential threat of our time. As noted in the June 1st, 2017 remarks, President Trump made the decision to withdraw from the Paris Agreement because of the unfair economic burden posed on American workers, businesses, and taxpayers. Pelosi said President Trump's shockingly reckless decision to formally pull the United States out of the Paris Climate Agreement is yet another disastrous anti-science, anti-government decision that sells out our planet and our children's future. Anti-science. Remember that story that came out here recently about the 11,000 scientists that have this, you know, are concerned about this climate emergency? We mentioned that story that came out and with Cal Beisner. Well, guess what? That report was called World Scientists Warning of a Climate Emergency. Stated that 11,000 scientists had issued a report contending that the Earth faces a climate emergency. Well, I believe it was Rush Limbaugh who had pointed out that this was no study. It was just a press release, and it wasn't 11,000 scientists. It was 11,000 random people who put their names on a webpage. A total managed lie. No study, no scientist. He said people went on a web and asked others reading it to put their signature on it. That's when it was presented as a scientific paper. The New American goes on to report that the signers included an animal behavior teacher in Valencia, a scientist emeritus in Canada, a researcher in the Czech Republic, a professor from Argentina, a student from a neotropical biodiversity institute somewhere, an obstetrician from Brussels, a Spaniard who's into biologo, a Turkish mathematician, and a Finnish engineer. Guess what? Also on this list of 11,000 scientists was Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse Institute for the Blind, Nambia. Albus Dumbledore, headmaster of Hogwarts, and this aardvark from the University of Neasden. All signing on. Yeah, 11,000 scientists. Good job, Mickey. From LifeNews.com, a Texas court has stepped in to stop a Fort Worth hospital from pulling the plug on a 9-month-old baby without her mother's consent. The 9-month-old girl was born with congenital heart disease, breathing with an assistance of a ventilator. Folks, we've been down this road so many times, and Texas is repeatedly at the hub of this. The hospital committee cited no physical health reason for their decision to seize the ventilator, but instead cited their own quality of life judgments. Texas Right to Life provided a lawyer to defend the patient after the family contacted them for help, but the Texas 10-day rule legally allows this form of euthanasia. The 10-day rule allows a hospital ethics committee to withdraw basic life-sustaining care like a ventilator or dialysis from a patient against his expressed will, his advance directive, or the instruction of the surrogate decision maker. 10 days after informing the patient or surrogate of the committee's decision, the hospital can remove basic life-sustaining care from a patient. How long, Texans, are you going to allow this 10-day rule to happen in your state? Committees can withdraw care for any reason, and the patient cannot appeal the decision even if the patient is conscious, coherent, and actively requests to stay alive. The 10-day rule allows the hospital to overrule the patient's will. A court stepped in to grant the baby and her mother some more time. Let's open the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these or other current news stories, we've covered so many different topics today. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Coming to us from CNSNews.com, the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, is now offering its midshipmen students who are interested a study group based on the teachings of the Satanic Temple. A group of midshipmen requested a space where they could assemble to discuss and share their common beliefs, said Academy spokeswoman Commander Alana Garris. The Academy has provided a room for that purpose. It was provided on October 31. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Interesting story here, WND.com. Democratic Representative Katie Hill recently resigned after she came under an ethics probe for carrying on affairs with staff members, and now two more members of the party are under review by the House Ethics Committee. Fox News reported the panel is extending its review of the handling of campaign finances by Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, and a relationship with a staffer has triggered review of Representative Elsie Hastings regarding whether he received any improper gifts. Tlaib. By the way, Fox News points out that the House committee yesterday released this trove of striking internal communications, campaign communications, sent in the 2018 by Tlaib, in which she urgently requested money from her congressional campaign to defray personal expenses, and the government watchdog group said possibly violating federal law in the process. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Tom. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim, I was just wondering, what are we to make of a person who claims that they are praying for the president, praying for the process, yet everything they do demonstrates that prayer is the least thing that they are trying to do?
You're referring to Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of somebody who says those things and then does the exact opposite?
Well, it doesn't really hold a can of water, does it? I mean, it's something that shows hypocrisy.
Yes, it most certainly does. And I think we should gauge her by her hypocrisy then.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments today, Tom. Our number, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Do we need more LGBTQ characters on television, folks? Do we need to up that up to 20%? Only just over 10% now. What about this Chick-fil-A food truck triggering fear on the part of students? Planned Parenthood, of course, at work with their website, instructing the nearest abortion clinics. And here a former worker, an abortionist, saying that their whole goal was sex education to get kids promiscuous. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America and taking your calls today. Let's go next to the state of Idaho. We have Bonnie calling. Bonnie, you're on the air.
I just have one question, and you can probably tell me. Can we impeach these Democrats? I mean, the American people should just turn this ship around and say, we want to impeach somebody, but it isn't the president.
Well, this would have to go through the House of Representatives itself.
We wouldn't get very far, would we?
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, that was my comment, because I think they all got to go.
Well, and thank you, Bonnie, for the call. And keep in mind, every member of the U.S. House of Representatives, every single member is up for election next November. Every member is up for election next November. One-third of the U.S. Senate up for election next November. How many are going to take time to learn about the candidates? How many candidates are going to be running unopposed in this upcoming election? We have, let's go to Pensacola, and Dan, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think that the Adam Schiff, the smug composure that he has, and Nancy Pelosi, I think would make a good mugshot for both of those, for the lies that they're telling, and I'm just praying that the stone that they roll up will roll back on themselves.
Thank you for your comments here today. Our number 800-733-9829 to Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
Oh, God bless all you saints, and thank you for taking my call. I didn't think I'd get in, but I always like to lift up the name of Jesus anytime I can. And I thank your program the other day that you had, the people that's making a Christian movie.
Yeah.
I thank the sister that says she got rid of the movies and everything. I don't see the movies. Anytime you have to use God's name in vain, that's not of God. And the Bible talks about not sitting no unclean thing before his eyes. In Job, I believe it was. And I just let it go myself. And there was a man in Walmart the other day, and he said, GD. And I took off my shirt and my coat so he could see the back where it says, holiness or hell, your choice. And I said, you know that ain't God's last name. So I just want to thank the saints and all you mothers and fathers, especially you fathers, the head of the house. Watch what your kids are learning at school, because any time a teacher put that kind of filth in a seven-year-old's classbook, it just shows we are in our last days, and we have to lift up the name of Jesus. Anytime on a Navy base they want to worship the devil, come on, saints, let's give God the glory. God bless you all.
Thank you, Courtney.
High way in the Lord today. God bless you.
God bless you, Courtney. Thanks for the call. Williamsburg, Kentucky. Jimmy, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Just started catching a part of this message, but I heard the part where you were talking about people standing up for the Lord and stuff, and the way the votes are being swayed. We kind of have that just went on here in Kentucky with the governor's race, where if you look at the whole map, the majority of the state was stand on against abortion and all that stuff. But because of just a few of the high population areas that were very liberal, and then also with the teachers standing on the premises, because a lot of them did get their feelings hurt and stuff, that instead of going for the righteousness of the Lord and standing on the principles of the Lord, they went against those principles, and heaven help us for what we have to face ahead. But definitely thank you for your show, and let's do it often on the way home from work.
Great. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for the call. We're going to take a quick break, and so we'll pick up more calls right on the other side. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Sadly, through things like the BDS movement, which is the Marxist, Islamic, anti-Semitic, Jew-hating campaign known as Boycott, Divestment, Sanction, they're trying to boycott Israel. Really what they're trying to do, folks, is to set up Jews all over the world to be persecuted and make it acceptable. But those guys out there pushing BDS and all this anti-Zionism, They like to say that Israel are the new Nazis. I know, it's offensive. That's what they're saying. Israel and the Jews and the Zionists are the new Nazis. They also say Israel is filled with racists. They're a racist state. They're an apartheid state. Well, perhaps they don't know that in 1991, as well as in the 1980s, but in 1991 specifically, Israel raised $35 million in 2 days to buy over 14,000 Ethiopian Jews, fly in 36 aircraft, and rescue black Ethiopian Jews and bring them back to Israel for safe keeping. How about that for so-called racism?
Got a news roundup day today on Crosstalk. We're going right back to the phone lines, and our next caller holding the longest, Hillsboro, Illinois. David, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thanks. Just a comment about Adam Schiff and the impeachment hearings. We have noticed his eyes. There's just something strange and abnormal about him. But, you know, in Jesus' day, there was so much demon possession and evil spirits. And that hasn't changed. Those entities are still with us. And, you know, my wife, Patricia, and I really believe that Adam Schiff could be demon-possessed. Hmm. Absolutely. The way he behaves, he has no conscience whatsoever about lying. And the same goes for Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and others, where we see symptoms that are just align themselves with evil spirits and demon possession. The kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage our listeners to pray for these people, for God to set them free, to drive out those evil spirits and demons. We may not, you know, be able to tell personally whether they are demon-possessed, but if they are, it sure doesn't hurt to pray for them.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, David. And we know who the father of lies is. We're running short on time. I'm going to have to move on. Kevin in Wisconsin, you're on the air. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, this is Kevin from Wisconsin. I wanted to first thank you for your great ministry on the radio. And second of all, I have a question for you. I know it's not technically politically, directly politically related. I was just wondering, there is a lot of churches out there that have armed security. What do you think of that?
There's a number of what that have armed security?
Churches in America, they have armed security. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, I have no problem with that whatsoever, Kevin. There is certainly a biblical case for self-defense to take place, and it is something in which we have seen churches that have been targeted, and therefore protecting the people that are part of the church is certainly well in order. Clarence in Twin Falls, Idaho, you're on the air.
Okay.
Clarence,
hello?
You're on the air. Yes,
yes.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, I live in Twin Falls, and we have a city council have rejected one of legalizing the abortion. We're going to make a repeal, I think, next week. But the thing is, what we're trying to do is get the city to abolish the abortion. Now, they tried last year and set a draft to the state. We're going to try it again, put up a draft to before the election. But we have to have about 50,000 signatures. So we're going to go around the state trying to sign this, mm-hmm. get the people well through the churches. Now, some of the churches don't want to do this. So anyway, this is the thing I'd like to say. I hope that people pray that we can, the city council will rule the abolishing of the abortion. So that's where we stand as right now.
Thank you, Clarence, calling from Twin Falls, Idaho. Janice in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hello. Did I understand you correctly to say that Planned Parenthood's goal is to get more teenagers to have more abortions?
Yeah, I read the quote from a former abortion worker. That was their goal, to have young people get promiscuous. The goal was 3 to 5 abortions.
Okay, that just leaves these teens open to all kinds of STDs. And it just shows that who really has the best interest of those children at heart.
Yeah, indeed.
It's Parenthood.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. I'm out of time here. I do want to leave you on a good note today. This was a press conference held just the other day. Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback Nick Foles, named Super Bowl MVP in 2018, broke his collarbone just 10 snaps into his first game of the 2019 season. He returned to the field with his press conference, said God has taught him an important spiritual lesson through that injury. Just want you to hear what he had to say, something to encourage your heart.
You know, right when I felt this thing break and I was going into the locker room, I just realized, God, this wasn't exactly what I was thinking when I came to Jacksonville. Obviously, you come here and you want to create a culture and impact people. But at the end of the day, as like, God, this is the journey you want me to go on. I'm going to glorify you in every action, good or bad. And, you know, I still could have joy in an injury. And that's people hear that and say, that's crazy. But it's like when you believe in Jesus and you go out there and you play, and that changes your heart. And you only understand it when, you know, that purpose in your life, just like when I hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. The reason I'm smiling is my faith was in Christ in that moment. I realized I didn't need that trophy to define who I was because it was already in Christ. And that's my message when I play. Same thing happens when I get injured. We tend to make this so much about us as human beings. We tend to make it about us as athletes. It's not about us. It really isn't. If you make it about yourself, you're probably going to go home at night, lay your head on your pillow, and be very alone and very sad. And then hopefully someday you can find that purpose in your life, because my purpose isn't football, it's impacting people. And my ministry happens to be the locker room. And I've been able still to get to know people, get to know these guys through an injury. Though I might not be playing, that is difficult from a fleshly perspective, but from the spiritual perspective, from my heart, I've been able to grow as a human being to where I feel like I'm in a better situation here as a person than I was before because of the trial I just went under. And I know that's a sermon in itself, but that's how I go through life, and the good Lord's been there to, you know, it's not always about prosperity. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I believe if you read the Word of God and you understand it, there's trials along the way, but they equip your heart to be who you are. So when I step on the field, I'm going against a man in Frank Wright. He's very similar. He's a guy that I admire more than anything. He's a guy that has impacted my life so much, and he's going to be on the opposing sideline. So that's going to be fun.
So I thank the Lord for one who used the form he had to take a stand for the Lord and give testimony for him. He's when one, this is Nick Foles, who had been injured, not ashamed of his Christian faith. He's spoken publicly about it and previously said he plans to become a pastor after he retires from football. But let me just encourage you, where God has placed you to be a testimony and example for him. Some of you are in the workplace. You will encounter people that others never will in this life. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Be salt and be light right where God has placed you. It's no accident that you're in your community, in that particular neighborhood, but let your light shine for him. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk as we have this news roundup day here today, and it is Friday. The Lord's Day is coming up. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.